You might be opening your Bibles this evening to the very first page of your Bible. First book, first chapter, beginning with the first verse. And we'll read together the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I think you've noticed in your study of the Bible that you can read through the entire book of the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, find yourself at the end of Revelation in 22, and realize you've got still some unanswered questions. And that's just going to be the case. We'll always have ability to question things for which we have no answers, because we only know what God allows us to know. You might remember that passage in the very last of Deuteronomy 29 that reminds us that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, and those things revealed belong unto us and to our children forevermore. There always have been those things God has reserved to his own judgment. And also questions of curiosity that we have no business knowing. And then some matters which, if we knew them, we wouldn't have the capacity to even understand them as to what they meant. The most important things, though, we do know. And I've always found it fascinating that here in the very first book and its very first chapter, we have so many questions answered. And wouldn't life be so much better, easier, and calmer in our current culture if we just agreed to the answers we've just read? Yes, there are some matters even here that bring up questions which are beyond our scope of understanding. But the basics are clear and they are indisputed. You'll notice that after every matter of creation and then summing up the entirety of the creation, we find that, well, last of verse 31, indeed it was very good. And you notice all the ways we went through day by day, and God saw it and it was good. And of course, one thing we're not discussing this evening at any great length is the fact that man was good only because of what happens in chapter 2. And then God made male and female in his image. How that took place is in chapter 2, going back to that time of creation itself. But all of that being said, man by himself without woman was not said to be good, but the first couple was. In fact, so much is that the case that God said of man by himself is not good, that man should be alone. But that aside, everything that God made, he remarked by saying it is good, and it was good. We know from this chapter exactly how the world began. We know the world's place in the larger universe. We know also the matter of the place of animal life and human life and their relationship one to the other. We learn our relationship to God and our special affinity and connection with him being made in his image. And we learn, you'd think we'd never have to really be taught this. In fact, it seems as if we didn't even have the Bible, we'd have sense enough to know this, but God made us male and female. Pretty clear. Pretty convincing. And as I say, if we didn't have Genesis 1, I think most of us could have figured that out on our own. But it needs to be said in these difficult and chaotic times we live in. But all of these are answered questions which are laid out right here before us to accept and absorb. And if we just take them on their face for what they are, it doesn't just help us, it illuminates our understanding of things that really matter in our lives. It does matter where we came from. It does. If the whole universe is just a chaotic accident of Well, we can't use the word physics because they say physics hadn't started yet. We can't use the word matter because there was no matter. We can't even use the word energy because energy has its beginning too, they say, but from where they do not know. But if all of this that we now know as the universe came at some point by accident and coincidence in ways that have no purpose, no design, and no real meaning, that leaves us at a loss to realize anything that might matter, that might make a difference, that might give our own lives purpose or meaning. If everything's an accident, and then on top of that, if we as human beings are accidents ourselves, and that this universe that just by itself and by chance, by some means, popped into being with natural laws forming on their own, and then over the eons of time, this matter that earlier hadn't existed but now does, started beginning with single cells and then multiple cells, and then finally to those of us who are sitting here this evening and enduring this lesson. If all of that just happened by accident, if you just let enough time go by, those things we're told are just going to happen. If enough time and the circumstances are right and ripe for it, it's just going to happen. Well, if the universe is here by accident, and if we are here by chance, and if there's no purpose or meaning or design to any of it, then how do any of us have any right to tell any of the rest of us what to think, how to live, or what to do? If life has no purpose, what does matter? If there is no life past this one, what does matter, and why would it? Well, it really doesn't, and it wouldn't. And as simplistic or even naive as some might view the idea of believing that we are here because God made us, that the universe is here because God spoke it into existence, and later Psalms will say He spake and it was done, He commanded, it stood fast. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all of them by the breath of His mouth. If all of this is true by God's design and God's creation, then we do have some answers. Life finally does have the purpose which we so long for. We do our best to act as if things true simply aren't. And passages like the one we just read, they remind us that truth is a hard thing to escape from. It's a hard thing to undo when you look it square in the face. It's hard to look at the universe and see the beautiful tapestry of the constellations above us and say, well, it just happened by accident. It's hard to even swallow that kind of a concept. Because when you look at that and you realize it came by accident, you have to say, well, it's got much more complexity, much more synchronicity to it than our best-made machines, so much so we can't duplicate it, and yet our machines are made by us, and they're made by us. And to say the universe wasn't made at all, it just came to be by accident, just common sense tells you that doesn't make any sense. So you have to ask the question and have it answered. Well, then where did it come from? What is its origin? What is its source? Is there a designer? Most of you have a cell phone, a smartphone. I think most of us have at one time looked at a television set, perhaps more so than we should. And I have no idea how they work. Not my field, and really not my interest as to how they work, but they do. But I would never, from my lack of understanding of the intricacies of how these things work, I would never then jump to the conclusion, well, since I don't know exactly how it happened, I will say that it just happened by accident. And so the television I have at the house, it just happened. And my smartphone, That tells me the events of the world across the globe at a moment's notice. That phone, it just happened. Well, anybody talking like that would be put in some kind of an asylum. Well, they used to would have. Now they'd be on the street. But they'd be seen as crazy. Crazy. That's crazy talk. And yet, as I say, the universe writ large is much more meticulously designed than your television or than your smartphone. And you say, oh, no, that's not true. Well, then why can't we build a smartphone and we can make a television and we can't recreate a universe? Even a small scope of one. The fact is, you have to have some kind of beginning that makes sense. And the Bible tells us in the beginning, and there was one, God created the heavens and the earth. Now you'll notice the word heavens, and then later the word heaven, singular, used throughout this text. Heavens describe, from the Bible's perspective, three different realms. There's the heaven where God lives in the spiritual realm. And there's the heavens above our atmosphere where the planets and the stars reside. And there's the heaven above the earth where the birds fly. And all three of these described as the heavens. The only heaven that we deal much with personally is the heaven we breathe as we go outside and breathe the air. When they go up in an airplane and fly through this first heaven. The third heaven is the spiritual realm, and Paul says, I was caught up to the third heaven. The heavens, though, were made by God. The heaven we know as the atmosphere came about because of God's dealing with what He'd already made in terms of this earth, and the firmament, and the separation, and all of this. But all of this that we see and appreciate every day, it came from God, and that's a fact. That yes, we have questions that we can't answer. But you tell me why it doesn't make more sense to say there's an intelligent God who created all of this than to say all of this without any kind of designer just popped into existence by itself on its own with no real purpose or plan. Which makes more sense? And then you add to that all the complexities of the Bible itself. And you're forced to the conclusion, yes, God is. And yes, His Word is true. And yes, the creation is His to have made. But then before our time is gone, I'd like to go to the last part of this chapter. He's dealt with the creation of the heavens and the heaven and the earth. Sun to rule by day, the moon to rule by night as it reflects the light of the sun. He talks about the creation of vegetative plant life and then the life of the oceans and the streams and the lakes and the rivers and the life in the skies that fly above us. He talks about the beast of the field, the cattle, and all of that which is terrestrial to this earth, and then contrasts that all with the crowning act of His creation and Him saying, both are right, let us make God in our image after our likeness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, deciding to design creation didn't just live. We can't begin to do that ourselves, just a creation that lives. You take the fly that you put a swatter to, or a mosquito that you kill with just a slap of your hand, and as inconsequential as those insects are, you try to make one. The most primitive mind or brain within even an insect or an amoeba for that matter is beyond our realm to duplicate by creation. But after having said and done all of that and saying about it, it's good, he says, let's both are right, take man in our image after our likeness. Showing a clear distinction between the animal world and humankind. It was never said of a cow or a dog or a cat or a fish or a bird or a tree that these were meant to have been made in God's image, because they simply weren't. God formed them, God created them, and there's majesty and beauty within them. But no, they do not reflect the nature of God. A God Himself who is not physical but spiritual. And thus He put within us, He put as the main part of us, He put, we might say, as the very embodiment of us in reality, this spirit within man that lives on past this life, that transcends this plane of existence, that will live on past this body's going back to dust. I don't want to cause any kind of arguments this evening, and if that's the case, I do apologize, because I know this can be a ticklish situation. But if any of us have lived as long as we have, we've had animals that we've known that have passed on. Unless you've raised an elephant or a whale, you realize that most of the animals we have, they are outlived by us. And because of that, from childhood up, whether on a farm or in the city, we've probably seen either a goldfish or a cat or a dog or a hamster pass away. And there is no animal heaven. I'm sorry. I know. I hate to even think that's controversial, but today it is. There is no animal heaven. And the reason is those animals were never designed for anything past beyond this earth. They have been designed for this earth and this earth alone. We enjoy eating them. We enjoy petting them. We enjoy having them for company. But we realize God never made them for anything past this life, past this realm. But there's something different about you and me. And you might say, well, are you saying we're better? Well, I am. I am saying we're better. But not because we deserve it, because God put that within us. He made us in His image. And just as God is spirit, and we are spirit beings, we have that capacity to look past and live past just this lifetime alone. We can contemplate what lies beyond. Animals can't. We can make preparations for a life beyond. The animals need not. God has made us different and special. And again, that's something we learn from this very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible. And I will say last here this evening that after having made man, both male and female, as we learn from chapter 2, that about that and about us, as everything else, God said, it is said, it was good. It was good. And so this idea, well, I was born in the wrong body. Well, God said it was good the way He did it. Well, are you telling me there's just two genders? Well, I kind of am, because the Bible says it here, and God says it was good that way. You can't both accept what God has said and the nonsense going around the world today on this subject and be consistent. You have to take one or the other. You have to leave one behind to take the other. God says, I'm making man different than the animals. And by the way, man has dominion over the animal kingdom. And man whom I made, I've made. You know, these letters are always growing. So much so they got the plus. I think the plus is at the end just so there's always room to add more letters. The LBGT, and I lose track, just like you do. I don't know all the letters. I know they start with L, and they go forward, and they end it with a plus. I know that much. But there's a lot more letters than just what the text says. Male and female created He them. Somehow, humankind kind of accepted that until just lately. Male and female created He them. And about that, like everything else God said, the Bible said, it was good. And it is. And it's high time we started seeing that as good as well. Appreciate your time this evening. And if there's anyone here that is subject to the invitation, please, if you need to come to Christ in gospel obedience, or if you need to come back to the fold having left, if you need to come this evening, don't let this opportunity pass, but come as together we stand and sing.